and to give you glory and honor that you're so due and so worthy of, God. As we lift our hands, as we lift our voices in song, praise unto you, God, we pray, God, that your blessings would come, God.
Lord,
that you would touch, you would minister in this house this morning, that your spirit would do a great work in us and through us, God. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We praise you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, God. What an honor to know you and to serve you, God, to find your help and strength in our lives, God. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus.
My heart is filled
as the waters flow, bless me. I am surrounded by the fortress of God. Only surrender to you and lift up my head, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. You captured my heart, now my life has changed. I lift up my head. Exalting your name, you captured my heart. Now my life has changed. I lift up my hands.
Yes,
I lift up my hands.
Go to the verse.
Father, I love. Waters glow, let us see. I am surrounded by the fortress of God. Totally surrender to you. I lift up my hands, standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. Captured my heart, now my life has changed. I lift up my hands.
One more time for the chorus.
I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands. Standing unashamed. I worship you, Father, exalting your name. Captured my heart, now my life has changed. I lift up my hands.
Yes,
I lift up my hands.
Oh,
I lift up my hands.
Praise the Lord.
Everlasting arms.
Well, what
at peace with my Lord so near me. On the everlasting
thankful that I have someone who is dependable, who is faithful,
yes.
Who never leaves nor forsakes.
Yes.
He's unshakable. I'm thankful that
praise
I can lean
Lord.
On those everlasting
praise
arms.
Praise
I can
Lord.
Have all faith and assurance. Hallelujah.
Praise
thank you,
Lord.
Jesus. Can we just lift our hands and
yes.
lift our voices? Lord, I'm so thankful that we have your everlasting arms to lean upon, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. So glad that we were able to bring back this warm tropical weather with us upon our return. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to be with you. Back home, not good, the weather we came back to, but, you know, back to life, back to reality. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. But ye shall receive power, but I say power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus, right before his ascension into the heavens, after his resurrection, after being with the disciples and others, the Bible says, for about 40 days, he tells them to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem, where they'll be endued with power. He says, after this power has come upon you, then you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Acts chapter 16, I want to read to you a little passage of Scripture that talks about what Paul and his company were doing in obedience to this. And Acts chapter 16, verse 6 reads, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to my Asia, they essayed to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Now think about this, and I will get into this a little bit more, but we understand the commission was to go in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. But here it's the Bible specifically tells us that Paul and his company were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. "Moreover, as they were come to my Asia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit said, nope, don't go there either. After they passing by my Asia come to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Subject matter for this morning is simply this: empowered to preach Jesus. Empowered to preach Jesus. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, God. We are honored to once again be in your presence, Lord, to open your precious word and to read therein, God, for out of it, God, are the issues of life, God, which help us and lead us, God, in the way that you would have us to go. Let your spirit, God, lead and guide us, direct our thoughts and our hearts this morning, God, that we would see in your word the principles that would guide us and give us the direction that we need. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. An excerpt in the lesson for this morning talks about a man and his wife that may be familiar to many of you if you've been around the United Pentecostal Church any length of time. Reverend Johnny Godare and his wife, there is a little excerpt of what happened with them when they were called of God to go to Durham, North Carolina to start a church. Leaving behind financial stability and the security of what was familiar, they threw themselves into reaching for the lost. They knocked on the doors of strangers, walked down unfamiliar streets, and reached any and all who would respond. After only a few weeks of working in Durham, they knocked on another random door. A woman answered and suddenly stepped back in surprise. When asked what had startled her, she told them, "You are the man I saw in a dream who was coming to Durham to begin a church." The Lord indeed was confirming what they were doing, and they gained assurance that they were in the divine will of God. Something, an expert, I had the opportunity while we were on vacation last day, Friday, we had opportunity to be with some of my family, Jody, my cousin, who's been here and ministered before, and his father and mother, my uncle and aunt. And as we were sitting at the table and we were talking about different things, my Uncle Joel told me he is now a family counselor working out of the church there in Titusville. And as a licensed family counselor, he gets people to come and he counsels them in different areas and different things about their lives. And he told me the story of a man who came to the office. And if you know my Uncle Joel, he's not a very bold individual. He's kind of passive and mild. And as he was talking with this man, he said, I don't know. He said, I just felt to say it. And I looked at the man and I told him, I said, God sent you here. And he said, I expected the man to be a little bit set back, a little bit taken by the boldness that I made the statement. And he said, but the man said, you're right, he did. And he said, as we began to talk, I found out that this man, his wife attended a UPC church that was just south of where they were. And he began to converse, and he said, Nate. He said, I'm not one of those guys that says stuff like that. He said, but I told him God sent you here, and he affirmed that. And then once we started talking, it was obvious that that had happened, that God had sent him to me into this office where I could give him counsel. He told me of another story, and you may or not know this. I don't have time to go into all the details, but my cousin Jody, who now pastors the church in Titusville, who has ministered in this pulpit, he has an amazing story. His testimony goes back before he was even born. Because in the time when his mother, my Aunt Maria, was expecting him, my aunt and uncle were not married. My uncle was attending University of Florida. He was not in church, was not living for God. And my aunt became pregnant with my cousin Jody. And at first, my Uncle Joel pretty much said that he didn't want anything to do with her. She was didn't have the family that she had in the area. She had come over from Cuba as a result of Fidel Castro and the work there. And so she came to the States, and she was dating this college guy, and this college guy and her hooked up, and she now is expecting his child, and now the college guy doesn't really want anything to do with her, and the families have kind of exiled her, and she doesn't know what to do, and so she finds herself. She's of a Catholic background, and you'd have to hear all the details of the story, but they're pretty amazing. She finds herself in a Catholic church, and a Catholic priest begins to talk with her, and God uses this Catholic priest to prophesy unto her about the child that is in her womb. And this priest begins to tell her that this child is going to do great things, that though she was considering abortion, and that's the reason why she was struggling with that decision, she was there. That priest, under the inspiration of God, prophesied unto her about the child that was in her womb and how that God would use him to do great things. And now, 47 years later, my uncle is sitting in his counseling office, and this lady comes in who is in her 40s, and she is a flight attendant, and she has hooked up with another member of the airline, and they're both up in years, and she is now expecting a child, and she's there because she's struggling with the decision of aborting her child. And she wants counseling. And he said, Nate, I was able to share my testimony with her about Jody, about how that he is now the pastor here in this church. And he said, I never knew so many years ago that the circumstance of that situation would, some 47 years later, I'm sitting across the table and I'm counseling her concerning her decision. And before the session is done, both her and the man have decided they want the baby and they want to go forward in life and raise their child. God only knows how situations and circumstances are used. And as we look into the story of Paul, and some of the things seem a little bit odd. Seems after we know the Great Commission that God has given them direction and told them that they are to go into all the world, if you will. How that now the Holy Ghost is forbidding them to go certain places and to preach in certain areas. But they are obedient to God. And I want to backtrack a little bit. I want to go all the way back to in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel are separated by God. They are given laws, and they're giving different ways of living, and even dietary restrictions, if you will. They're called to be separate. But they're called ultimately to be a nation of missionaries, a light that shines forth as God's chosen people. All the way back to Abraham, God tells him that through him, all the nations of the world would be blessed. That even in his covenant with Father Abraham, God is establishing that one day, through Abraham, the Gentiles would receive God. And yet you have all through the Old Testament, you have this nation, these God-chosen people that God has separated and set apart to show their differences. And even some of the songs that they sing, if you were to do a survey of the 150 Psalms, that within those Psalms, over 175 references to the other nations of the world. Psalm 67, verses 1 through 2. God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. The Israelites were God's chosen people. He blessed them so that they would be a blessing to the whole earth. He blessed them so that they would reach out unto others. Jesus, in some of his final comments on this earth with the disciples, are recorded in Luke 24. And he said, Luke 24, 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then we have what we read earlier, when Acts 1 and 8, when Jesus tells them that they shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them, and they shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Even Peter, when preaching on the day of Pentecost, when asked by the men and brethren, what must we do? When he responds and he tells them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter makes that statement. He preaches that on the day of Pentecost. While there were there, the Bible says, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And Peter tells them, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, all that are afar off. But yet, best we can tell, it's not until about 10 years later that Peter preaches in the house of Cornelius. He preaches something on the day of Pentecost that it takes some 10 years
before he himself acts upon that revelation. It takes a vision. Well, he is praying on the housetop of Simon the Tanner. It takes a vision of unclean animals coming down and him being told to arise, kill, and eat. It takes that before Peter responds and really understands that what God has blessed and what God has called, he should not call common or unclean. Peter preaches some 10 years later in the house of Cornelius. And there we understand in Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles receive that promise. Both Peter, and who we often think of as being the apostle or the one that preaches to the Jews, and then Paul, who we understand, who is the apostle or the missionary to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, in his conversion experience, if you read Acts chapter 9, he is told that he, Paul, was to bear his name to the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. That Paul is to be an evangelist. That Paul is to be an apostle. And we call him the Apostle Paul. And that he is to go and preach the word of God. And so Paul, following that great commission and doing what God has called him to do, he plans to go to Bithynia. The Bible says. Now it's interesting because this place in that time is in northwest Turkey. It is at that time a Roman province on the coast of the Black Sea. And if you understand a little bit about history and you do your research, you will find that at that time Bithynia was very wealthy. Bithynia was a very affluent and influential area of that time. And so Paul thinks to himself, I should go and I should preach to these people of Bithynia. I should minister unto them. I should take to them the gospel. But yet the Bible says the Holy Ghost suffers them not. The Holy Ghost says, don't go. Instead of going north to Bithynia, a very rich and prosperous city, Paul and company instead are directed towards Macedonia. Macedonia is the reverse of Bithynia. Macedonia is a very impoverished Roman province. Macedonia, if you do just a little Bible study about it, you will find that in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul cited Macedonia as an example of generosity to the Corinthians. And he does so because he talks about their extreme poverty, how they gave in their extreme poverty. He plans to go to Bithynia. He feels that that's what he should do, and he should go and he should deliver this word, and he's called to deliver the word of God unto the Gentiles. And so he and company, they plan to go to Bithynia, a very rich and prosperous place, but the Holy Ghost says no. You don't go to Bithynia, you go to Macedonia. You go to a very impoverished city. Scripture does not clearly say whether or not Paul understood why the Spirit forbade them to go into Bithynia. The Bible doesn't really give us much explanation as to why this is. Certainly God intended for the people of Bithynia to hear the word of God. And we do understand that according to the Bible that they were reached with the gospel. It doesn't seem as though Paul was the one commissioned to go or that Paul was the one led. But we understand in the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. So they were reached. It wasn't that God wasn't going to reach them. It's that God was not going to use Paul at that time to reach them. And Paul had to be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost. Paul had to understand that it is the directive of the Holy Ghost which he should follow and what he should do. And as a result, he detoured from Bithynia and he goes to Macedonia. How? Why? Well, how was he directed? Well, the Bible tells us that he sees in a vision a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. Then something else happens. We understand that according to the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. We understand that it is without doubt the will of God for everyone to hear the gospel. Paul understood that every creature meant every person, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of gender, regardless of social standing, regardless of economic condition or physical wellness. Paul understood it's for every creature. But he sees in a vision a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. However, it's interesting to note that the first convert, the first one that Paul goes down to is found in Acts 16:14. It is a woman. He goes down to the riverside on the Sabbath, and if you understand what's happening, he kind of visits a ladies' prayer meeting, and there he met Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, whose heart the Lord opened. Think about the directive. Paul and company decide they want to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Ghost says, no, you know, that's not the time. This is not my will right now. You don't go to Bithynia. You see, there are a lot of things that you and I may not understand, and we may not logically be able to figure out, but we have got to understand and have enough faith and assurance in the power of God in our lives that He will lead and that He will direct. And as I gave you the stories earlier, my Uncle Joel and sitting there and using a family counseling business, if you will, that they're to use that as ministry to people. To be led of God to say certain things at certain times. And here he sees a vision of a man, but the first one he reaches is a woman. By the name of Lydia, and the Bible says she receives the gospel and her household were baptized. And then she provides lodging for Paul and his companions. Now they begin to base out of there, and they begin to preach, and they begin to go about the city. Now we find the next instance as Paul and Silas are going about the city and they're preaching. There comes this young woman, the Bible says, this young girl who was used in divination. In other words, she was able to see certain things. And the Bible says she had gained her masters much by her ability to do this. And she follows around Paul and Silas and says, hey, follow these men, for they show us the will of God. They show us the way of the Lord. And it seems like what she's saying is right and good, but Paul discerns something in the spirit. And the Bible says that he turns around and he rebukes the spirit that's in the young woman. And it leaves her. And now she doesn't have the ability anymore because the spirit is gone. And now her masters get upset. Those that had used her and that evil spirit within her for much gain. And now they come against Paul and Silas and they bring them before the magistrates there at Philippi. And they say, hey, these men do us much harm. They try to lead the whole city away from what is right. We're in danger. We're in danger of the Romans responding, and so you need to do something about it. And then we have the story of Paul and Silas as they're thrown in the Philippian jail after being beaten with stripes. And there, that infamous story, if you will, that wonderful story of Paul and Silas in the jail as they are in stocks and bonds, and they begin at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. And all of a sudden, the prison was shaken and the doors come open, and you would think that all the prisoners would then flee, but Paul and Silas are in the inner prison and they all come to where Paul and Silas are. Paul discerns once again in the spirit that the Philippian jailer is about to fall upon his own sword and take his own life because his prisoners that he was in charge of, he thinks, have escaped. Paul calls for a light and says, hey, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. None of us have gone anywhere. And there Paul is able to talk to and converse with, and there's some that he would certain say that this Philippian jailer was the man that Paul saw, and we don't know. We don't know who it was that Paul saw in the vision. It was just a man in Macedonia. Now Paul reaches the Philippian jailer. And he and his household are baptized. All of these events, all of these things occur. All of these happen as a result of Paul being empowered and being led by God to reach and to teach. And here's the thing. Here's what happens if we're not careful. We think to ourselves, well, yeah, that was for the Apostle Paul. That was for that great man of God who did so many wonderful things and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And that, you know, that Apostle Paul, that's But do we not understand that the same power that was within the Apostle Paul resides within us in the power of the Holy Ghost, the same power which directed and steered Paul to certain people and to certain places and away from other places is also the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost that empowers you and I to know what to say. And people worry, well, I don't know what to say or how I'm going to... Listen, we need to truly believe that the Holy Ghost will give us what we need to say at that point in time. We have to believe like the Apostle Paul believed that I am a missionary, that I am one called by God to preach Jesus unto this world, that I do have within me in the power of the Holy Ghost the faculty and the facility to do what God has empowered me to do. To preach the gospel. From Philippi, Paul and Silas and their companions travel on to Thessalonica. As is his custom, Paul went to the Jewish synagogue, and for 3 Sabbath days, the Bible says, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead. And this Jesus is whom Paul preached unto them. These cities of Macedonia, where God had directed him. At first he thought, I would go to Bithynia, but the Spirit said, no. You don't go there. Go to Macedonia. And there Paul comes in contact with these people, and we have the stories. Acts 17 records that Paul's preaching produced results. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Multiple people led to God by the Apostle Paul and his companions being led of the Spirit. Multiple people turning to God, understanding the gospel and responding as a result of Paul and Silas and the companions understanding that they were empowered by God to preach. And here's the thing for you and I. Here's what you and I need to grasp in all of this and the understanding that same power resides in each and every one of us. If we are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have an opportunity. We have the empowerment, if you will. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. I say it all the time. I'll continue to say it. He didn't call me to be a judge. He didn't call me to be a jury. He didn't call me to be an attorney. What he called me to be was a witness. To give a testimony of the power of God in my life. I wonder how many times, and I believe it was very often, that the Apostle Paul, I know when he stood before Felix and Festus and King Agrippa, he gave his personal testimony about how God had transformed his life. He gave his testimony about how he used to persecute the church, and he used to be after, to quell the way that was called heresy, but now he was in the way. Now he was a part of that way, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, empowered to preach the gospel. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I don't know. I don't think I can give you adequate explanation as to why it's some 10 years between Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost to when he steps foot in the house of Cornelius. I don't know. I don't believe I can give you adequate explanation as to why the Holy Ghost told them not to go into Asia. Suffered them not to go to Bithynia at that time. I don't know. But what I do know is that if you and I will be sensitive enough to follow the leading of the Lord, there's example after example, not only in Scripture, where we read about the likes of the Apostle Paul, Peter, Silas, Timothy, Barnabas, when even those that you and I probably know personally have testimonies how that God has used them, or at their conversion, used other people to reach them. At some point in time, the gospel was preached unto them. They respond. So now it's upon us. Do I truly believe that I have the power of God in my life to be a witness unto those around about me? Do I see my place of employment as just a place where I go and put in my time and get my paycheck, or do I see it as a mission field where God can use me? God has empowered me to reach the people that I rub shoulders with on a daily basis. What do I see it as? Do I see my life in this day and time as just another going through the motions, another punching the clock day in and day out? Or do I see my current state as ordained by God to reach someone who I now have contact with? Each and every one of us receive power. Each and every one of us, if we are Holy Ghost-filled believers, have the availability to be used by God to preach Jesus unto those we encounter. Not just in word, in lifestyle, in how we live, in what we do. To let my life song sing His praise. Let how I live, how I conduct my life, and all manner of conversation, the Bible says, to preach Jesus to those around about me. That maybe, just maybe, that person that comes to me and tells me things that maybe they wouldn't tell other people. Maybe they're led by God to do so. Maybe, just maybe, it's an open door. Lord, help me to be sensitive enough in the spirit to know. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, to know when and how and what to say, that I would be empowered to preach Jesus to someone else, to lead them in the way. These altars are open, and we take the opportunity to pray. Lord, help. Empower me. Oh, don't let me think I'm so far removed from the likes of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Barnabas. Just common men used by the one and only God to reach. We know that later on, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, that all that were in Asia heard the word of the Lord in the space of 2 to 3 years.
More of you in my life.
Oh, we don't know all the reasons. We may not be able to adequately explain all the ways in which you work, what you allow, what you suffer, what you do not. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to have the faith that we are empowered by your Spirit to reach others, to minister into their lives.
More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more.
Every day I'm preaching. Every day I'm saying something with my actions. Every day in my interaction with others, I'm saying something. Help me to preach Jesus. Help me to have enough Holy Ghost that I'm sensitive enough to see the need to reach out, to give love and compassion and care.
You are my Lord.
We're
power to preach Jesus.